Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Southern Sass and a Crispy Corpse by Kate Young, narrated by Tiffany Morgan. Chapter 1. If someone had asked me yesterday how I envisioned a perfect day, I would have told them a morning swim in the ocean, followed by a day on a lounge chair with a good book and an ice-cold drink. Now, I sat on my beloved beach a few feet away from a dead body with my blissful notion spoiled. The murky water, a product of last night's storm, had obstructed my view of the sandy floor as my toes plunged into the grainy depths. The current hadn't been too strong, fine for my dawn swim. Our island used the flag method to notify its residents and tourists as to the ocean safety conditions. Red flag meant high surf and strong currents. Yellow, which flew today, moderate surf. Green meant calm. And lastly, the purple flag indicated a hazard from dangerous marine life that lurked too close to the shore. The waves had lapped against my bare skin as I waded out into the surf, pulled my goggles down over my eyes, and dove through a wave. Bliss enveloped me as I swam the morning's troubles away. Several strokes in, I took a hit to the foot. Unnerved, I hoped someone had simply lost their paddle or bodyboard. Marine life was also the ever-niggling worry in the back of my mind. Encounters happened. Usually harmless and simply curious baby sharks ventured closer inland. I sped up my strokes. A microsecond later, I took a major hit to the side. When I turned to investigate, striking out with both hands, something slimy slid between my fingertips, and I came face to face with a badly burned profile. I learned in that moment you could scream underwater. Bubbles flew from my lips as all the air left my lungs. During some untimed gasps, I gulped in salty water. My chest burned, my arms thrashed instead of slicing through the water as I fought to swim back to the shore. Waves crashed over me, shoving me toward the ocean's floor. A spike of adrenaline shot through me, fight or flight engaged in battle. I fought the unforgiving current and scrambled toward the shoreline. Pain shot through the soles of my feet as they pounded against the half-buried and broken shells at the water's edge. Pain notwithstanding, I persevered and propelled myself forward with the aid of a crashing wave until I fell hard to my knees. I crawled and sputtered before I collapsed on the beach. Sand stuck to my body in all the uncomfortable crevices where sand didn't belong. When I finally managed to crack open my lids, I came to the knowledge that the same wave that had flung me toward the shore had also flung the body. A half-scream, half-sob left my lips, and I scurried like a crab away from the corpse. Of all the mornings to come out here and be daring, now, with my robe fastened tightly, I watched as the Peach Cove Sheriff's Department did their thing. My deceased mother sat next to me, chastising me, of course. "Child, I can't believe you're out here in your birthday suit. What on earth possessed you to do such a thing?" My mama, Clara Brown, had been tied to the island since the day she passed. She wasn't what you'd call a pure heart in life, and now the powers that be forced her to remain in limbo until she made amends in order to cross through the pearly gates. At least, that was how I understood it. Betsy's Mima knew all about island folklore and passed her knowledge on to my friend, who then passed it on to me. Mama hadn't denied the claim, deeming it accurate in my mind. The distinct possibility that Mama could be a hallucination and I had yet to be diagnosed with a mental disorder lurked in the back of my mind often. Either way, here she sat in her favorite yellow dress with white daisies on it, the same dress she'd been buried in. I find the experience freeing. I secured my bathrobe tighter. At least it covered me to below my knees. For all anyone knew, I could be wearing a swimsuit underneath. Besides, this far down, the beach is usually empty. Some investors had come in last year and bought most of the properties on the west side of the island and developed it for tourism. If it did well, you could bet your bottom dollar they'd come for the other beaches Peach Cove offered, including this one. That's no excuse, you ridiculous girl. Mama's face puckered as if she had sucked on a lemon. I fought an eye roll. Not like it's any of your business, anyway. I just needed to get out this morning, to take some time for myself. In hindsight, and taking into account the amount of discomfort I'm in, I should have worn a bathing suit. I stared down toward the water, longing to rinse off. You had another fight with that Myers boy. She'd never liked Alex. I didn't reply, determined to withhold the satisfaction she'd feel from clearly intuiting this morning's events. We'd indeed had a fight, and it had been a doozy. After finding the body, the problems in my complicated love life felt minute. I told you that boy wasn't good enough for you. Consummate flirts aren't the settling down type. They can't seem to help themselves. Their heads turn toward any pretty face that bats a mascaraed eyelash in their direction. After last night's fight, well, technically, early morning fight, I couldn't exactly argue in his defense. Not that I should have been surprised with our history. He'd had a thing with my archenemy, Rainy Lane Ledbetter, when we were young. Still, I'd been shocked when my brother called me with the news that he'd caught Alex at a bar with a tourist. I had no idea where this left us. Even if we couldn't make it work, I didn't want to lose our friendship. Take the romance away, and we were great friends. The best. Get your story together. Edward's coming over. Mama began fluffing her short brown curly hair as if Eddie would be able to see her. I struggled to my feet while holding my robe together in hopes of maintaining my modesty. Technically, Eddie Carter was my father. Not knowing that fact for the first 16 years of my life, I'd never gotten around to calling him anything other than his given name. Until that night when it all hit the fan and I found out about the affair that resulted in the conception of yours truly. I suppressed a shudder at the memory of a red-faced Eddie stomping out of the house when my half-brother Sam and I came home from the movies. Nothing was going on between Sam and me. Yuck, and thank God, but Eddie had feared it. Sam, as shocked as I was, had been livid not only for being kept in the dark, but also because Eddie had still been married to his mama during the time of said affair. Before that night, I'd believed that my sister, Jenna Lynn, and I shared the same father. When he passed, Eddie and Mama had picked up where they left off. Needless to say, it had been a traumatic time in my life. Eddie and I had worked on our relationship, and over the last year, we'd grown closer, and it had been a total blessing. Since moving back home after my painful marriage, followed by an equally painful divorce, having a good relationship with my family had been my salvation. My new life had been calm and pleasant up till now. My father stalked toward me, his gaze trained on the sand in front of him until he reached me and gave me an odd glance before he cleared his throat. Did he witness my conversation with Mama? I need to be more careful when speaking with her. Eddie? He averted his gray-blue gaze that was so much like my own. Not much made Eddie nervous or uncomfortable. Oh, no. Someone saw me swimming. My face heated. In confirmation, he pointed to the top of the dunes behind us. Mrs. Foster likes to birdwatch early in the mornings. She takes photographs of the morning feedings with her telephoto lens. I knew I should have gotten that gym membership. Mama clucked her tongue. Shameful. Lord knows this is going to further taint your reputation. I forced myself not to glare at her for longer than a second, and, of course, she still preened in Eddie's direction. She just couldn't help herself where her ex-lover was concerned. It was a shame she couldn't have shown him the love he deserved while she'd been alive. How many shots did she manage to get? I was so thankful that my sunglasses hid my eyes.
Enough. She said this activity of yours is a semi-regular thing, and if her husband were alive, she would have reported you for indecent exposure.
My face couldn't get any hotter. Since it was a scorcher today, maybe it could pass a sunburn. My skin itched. The water had evaporated, leaving the salt behind. I rubbed my arm. Next time I decide to go swimming, I'll wear a suit. Or go farther down the beach to where the old vacant fixer-uppers were. No chance of being spotted there.
You certainly will, young lady.
He raked his fingers through his graying blonde hair, wet with perspiration.
Lord, girl, of all the things for a father to have to deal with.
I covered my face with my hands. I'm sorry, and you don't have to worry. After today, I don't think I'll be swimming anytime soon. I shuddered at the thought of the body and dropped my hands. The idea of hiding was absurd now. Any idea what happened to that woman? Besides the obvious, I mean? My assumption on gender was based on the small frame and length of hair, what was left of it anyway. I almost gagged. The smell from the body was one I wouldn't soon forget. I hadn't eaten today, and the idea of food completely turned my stomach. Me, the foodie queen.
We have the Coast Guard on the lookout for a burned or burning boat. I'm sure we'll get an update from some of the fishing boats on the water as well. It stormed last night, so I'm not sure how many stayed out late. I hate to think this could be one of the party barges the tourists book a lot. This time of year, the captains pushed the limits of safety for revenue. If that's the case, we could have more bodies on our hands.
Eddie's phone chirped, and he stepped aside to answer it. Gulls glided above. I used their presence as a welcome distraction from the uncomfortable situation. We certainly didn't need to contend with a host of dead bodies. You being here isn't a coincidence. Remember what I told you last year? Mama faded from sight, and I instantly recalled her words. When one of us is forced to remain, it creates an energy around the person we're communicating with, an aura, if you will. The deceased will be drawn to you. Not again. I swallowed, my throat dry and scratchy. The corpse lay a few yards from the water's edge and was covered with a tarp. Teddy, the coroner, had been called in moments after Eddie's arrival. Teddy Gaskin and his father owned and operated the Gaskin Funeral Home, the only one of its kind on the island. Teddy had been elected coroner a few months back when Mayor Bill decided the island needed one. He was kneeling next to the body with his latex-covered hand up to his nose. Teddy had a wiry build and little beady brown eyes with inky black hair and mocha skin. Today, he wore little round glasses that sat at the end of his pointy nose. A few yards from him stood the reason I ended up here on this awkward morning, Deputy Alex Myers. We made eye contact as he spoke to an elderly couple who'd come down from their home to see what the commotion was about. I caught a bit of seaweed in my peripheral vision and pulled at it. It had dried, and I had a hard time removing it from my hair. Oh, well. Alex was about 5'7", a couple of inches taller than me, with a stocky build. He had dark, thick, wavy hair that always seemed to be in need of a trim. His skin was copper-toned from the sun, and it complemented his deep brown eyes with flecks of green you could only spot when examining them up close. We'd always had a complicated relationship. One day, I believed he was the love of my life, and the next, I wanted to murder him. I'd also go on record that he felt the same about me. From this distance, I could see the conflict on his face. He probably battled with regret for our earlier fight where he'd proclaimed his innocence,
but I could read anger there as well. He shifted his weight from foot to foot, a clear indicator that fury brewed below the surface, and it didn't take a rocket scientist to understand why. God, I hoped Mrs. Foster was a terrible photographer and the images wouldn't be clear. Either way, Alex and I would be having words later. He started toward me, but I gave my head a small shake. A sigh left my lips when he stayed put, that he respected my wishes for space afforded me time to process. This certainly wasn't the time nor the place to have a battle of wills. The man beside Alex, the new deputy, had come onto the force only a few weeks ago. What was his name again? I groped for it. When it didn't come to me, I asked Eddie when his call ended.
Javier Reyes, Eddie said.
Ah, that's right.
He's sharp.
Javier was taller than Alex, but shorter than Eddie, who stood at a little over 6 feet tall. Javier had a sharp military cut, salt and pepper in color, and olive skin. A handsome man, no doubt about that. The single ladies of the island would go gaga over him.
You can go home now and get changed.
Eddie put a hand on my shoulder.
Where's your beach bag?
I grimaced. He held up his hand.
Never mind.
Hopefully we won't have to speak of this again. We walked up the beach toward the public entrance. The distance between the beach and my car never seemed so far.
You'll need to come down to the station in,
he glanced at his watch,
an hour and a half. We'll need to get your statement on record. You'll give it to Javier.
That made sense. No conflict of interest there. Of course. I'll call Jenna Lynn and tell her I'll be in late today. Up the wooden steps toward the walkway we went. I wished Mama hadn't gone. Not that it mattered. I had no control over when she appeared, and most of the time, neither did she. The way she explained it, or at least as I understood it, was she had little control over the amount of time she was allowed to show herself. She would be notified if my life was in danger and be allotted more time. With her revelation this morning and how quickly she faded out, I supposed she'd showed up to see how I handled the discovery of the deceased. As much as I wanted this to be a coincidence or an odd mishap, something in my gut told me it wasn't. Perhaps this was an accident. Maybe I could go on focusing on the average problems in life, men, diets, and my business. That sounded like a dream. I slid into the driver's seat of my sea mist green Prius.
Pumpkin?
Eddie lowered his head to peer into the open window.
Let's not make a habit of this.
The skinny dipping or dead bodies? I cracked a smile. He gave me a stern look. Laughter is the best medicine.
Laughter will do nothing for this splitting headache.
He rubbed his forehead with his thumb and index finger.
Drive safe. I'll see you at the station.
Eddie patted the hood of the car. I sat there and watched him make his way back down to the beach. I waited until he was out of sight before I pulled away. As I drove home, I wondered who the poor woman was, if she had a family. Was she a resident or a tourist? What had happened to her? One thing I was 100% certain about, I should have turned Alex away last night and slept in this morning. If I hadn't been here, I could have saved myself and my father a lot of humiliation. Chapter 2. I wiped the steam from the bathroom mirror in preparation for blowing dry and straightening my blonde hair. I'd rallied since I'd showered and dressed. It was amazing how just getting clean made you feel better. This could all add up to be a horrible accident. Mama could be wrong. If not, people were going to start wondering about me. Well, those who didn't already. Since my divorce, I'd come to terms with the abuse I'd endured by my ex's hand. I'd been surprised by how much sharing with a group of others who'd had similar experiences helped me along my healing journey. That, combined with private therapy, gave me a healthier perspective on myself and life. There was still work to be done, but I could handle it. I'd learned that I possessed the strength to endure and grow. Earlier this year, I began volunteering to help out by providing refreshments from the Peach Diner, our family business that my sister and I had inherited from our mother. When asked, I'd shared with reluctant newcomers my own journey, what I'd walked through and continued to walk through on a daily basis, assured them they weren't alone and that together we were stronger. The hardest part for me had been telling my family, especially Eddie. He'd nearly burst a blood vessel in his forehead, and I truly thought he would drive to Atlanta and kill Peter. Thankfully, once he cooled down, he held me and we cried. Now I hated for something to burden him further. If this island spirit nonsense continued, I feared he might grow to despise me. I wished Mama could hang around without the attachment of other deceased. No, stop it. This wasn't about me. Yes, it was horrifying, but that poor woman was the victim. Bless her heart. Time to accept the things I could not change and trust that everything would work itself out, one day at a time. I brushed my lashes with mascara. My eyes were bloodshot. At least my skin had a nice summer glow. A little cover-up concealed the burn from the sand, and with a tad of lip gloss, I'd be set. After I'd thrown on the Peach Diner logoed polo and standard black work shorts, I slid into my Crocs, the perfect footwear for work, and snagged my purse. 10 minutes later, Jenna Lynn had been lightly informed, and I sat across the desk from Deputy Reyes at the Peach Cove Sheriff's Department. Eddie had sectioned off the desk area of his two deputies with partitions, giving them each a cubicle of space within the small office. I'd been on him for as long as I could remember to update the drab wood-paneled walls and white tile flooring. Budget wouldn't allow it. I'd already explained to the deputy how I came to discover the body this morning, that I'd not touched her other than by accident when she slammed into me. I gave him an exact account of my morning before arriving at the beach, including the argument with Alex. Hiding information easily discovered by law enforcement, I deemed a bad idea. He was busy scribbling little notes on his yellow pad. I wondered how many murder or accidental death cases this man had investigated. So I asked. The deputy's pen paused, poised to write, as he lifted his head. His deep-set eyes were full of intelligence. Something stirred within them that I couldn't read. Uncertainty, perhaps.
I've investigated my fair share. Why do you ask?
His accent was slight but unmistakable, alluringly exotic for our little southern island inhabited with folks speaking in slow drawls mingled with twang. I allowed my shoulders to rise and fall deliberately, just curious. He went back to writing. His desk was tidy and well organized. Alex's desk could be described as a typhoon of paperwork, manuals, and files. He rarely opened his laptop. I'd come in a couple of times and helped him type up reports, a task he detested. Most of the time he bribed the girl at the front desk to type them. Deputy Reyes, on the other hand, appeared to enjoy his data entry. There were neatly stacked files and organizers next to his open computer. He seemed meticulous about his work. I bet Eddie loved that about him.
Did you call anyone other than the sheriff after you were, as you put it, accosted by the body?
He pierced me to my seat with a penetrating stare.
Nope, just Eddie.
I sat in silence for a couple more beats, taking notice that his desk, void of family photos or personal paraphernalia, looked bland. No wedding band, so single. Guessing, I'd say he could be about 10 years older than me, making him around 38 or 39. Divorced, maybe? A consummate bachelor, also a possibility?
Do you make a habit of exposing yourself in public? His tone came out so smooth and deliberate that it took a second to register the question. When I did, I sputtered, I beg your pardon?
You were nude on the public beach.
His tone dripped with what I took as disdain. Immediately on the defense, I groped for intelligible words. No, I wasn't. Okay, I was, but not a single person uses that beach. There are only a few elderly people residing on that end of the beach. None of them swim. My shoulders curled forward, and I fought to keep them upright. He'd notice, of course.
We've had complaints. If you weren't the sheriff's daughter, charges probably would have been filed.
Eddie's words about Mrs. Foster came back. I didn't know the old woman could see. I fought to keep my emotions in check. And, for your information, skinny dipping on a deserted beach with no one else around isn't considered lewd conduct around here. For the second time today, my face burned. Here I'd attempted to be friendly, welcoming to the newcomer, and he insisted on being downright rude. I had no issue with the question. However, the tone in which he'd posed the question, plus the expression on his face, his eyebrows raised and his lips pursed, had me discombobulated. Mrs. Foster begged to differ. He rocked back in his chair, his fingers tapping together in a trained fashion. My mouth opened and closed several times as I sought an explanation. My nails dug into my purse on my lap. Am I being charged with indecent exposure?
No, I said you weren't going to be.
I regained the strength in my tone. Are there any other pertinent questions pertaining to the actual case that you need me to answer?
Not at this time. That'll be all, Miss Brown. You can go.
With a wave of his hand, he dismissed me and bent back over his work. Fine. I rose and tossed my purse strap over my shoulder. Still, he kept his head bent. He didn't acknowledge that I'd stood. He didn't stand with me or shake my hand. Every southern boy worth his salt would rise when a woman stood to leave. I expected him to do the same, especially after what he'd just put me through. Would it kill him to afford me some dignity? I folded my arms in defiance and waited, needing a win. His head slowly rose and his eyebrows followed suit.
Was there something else?
Other than you being rude? No. I suppose a degenerate such as myself doesn't deserve a proper farewell.
What type of farewell were you expecting? You've just been questioned regarding a serious crime.
Wow! Just wow! As a witness, not a suspect! I thought about shouting at him, telling him that my poor judgment in the ocean this morning had nothing to do with this dead woman, nor should it defame my character. He regarded me with an emotionless expression as if I were insignificant. No, worse, childish.
Goodbye, Miss Brown. I have a lot of work to do.
I swallowed the lump in my throat, along with my pride, and turned and left.
Mary Jean?
Alex caught my attention as I passed the front desk.
What were you thinking? Skinny dipping? You should have seen Eddie's face. Now Javier knows about the pictures.
I don't have to explain myself to you. I'd had about all the judgment and embarrassment I could take for one day.
You don't?
Alex's eyes fired up. Look, it's been a rough morning. I pointed my finger at him, and I'm in no mood to fight with you. We're not exclusive, remember? I whipped his words from earlier this morning back at him. He let out a bellowing sigh.
I explained what happened.
I held up my hand. Save it.
I swear. It was nothing. How many times do you want me to apologize?
Alex sounded exasperated. We both were. Besides.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?